Fuck some NHL. Hey, who don't? Maybe our next guest, cabin specialist. I'm not sure. Adam Proto from the Hockey News joins us. Proto, what's happening?
Not much, Mr. Gregor. How are you?
I am excellent, man. Spring has sprung here. I'm loving it. It's not even April.
Well, I was going to say it hasn't been that all that great here in Toronto, but anytime we get to the spring in Canada where there's no more snow, I think that's all people need for starters.
Yeah, but right now, isn't all of the heat and excitement about Babcock and McDavid coming to Toronto next year to solve the woes of the Leafs? That should be melting all the snow.
If one day we find out that there's a giant wellspring of endless hope underneath the city and maybe delusional hope, Jason, maybe that's part of it. But I think, the people just want to love. People want to have, and I wrote about this recently, that people want to just believe that better days are coming. And I think just with the mushroom cloud of a season that the Leafs have had, they're straining for any shred or any trace, those movies where they have the blue light kind of thing where they check the crime scene for any trace or like thumbprints or things. That's what Leaf fans have kind of fallen toward. And in some cases for me, at least, it's hard to blame them.
Let's the Babcock situation. I've been there's a lot of people who think like this is a really good chance it happens, Adam. Like,
right.
Where do you stand?
Yeah, I don't know that I would put money on it if I were a gambling person. I think that Mike Babcock faces the same decision as a lot of players face, and that's what for me is fascinating about this offseason. It's coaches free agent offseason, really, especially if that like Julian comes on the market or Todd McClellan comes on the market. I think these guys are going to have some incredible decisions to make because the coaching bar gold standard is going to be reset in this offseason. I think that's the fraternity and the guys behind the scenes recognize and look at other sports and look at the league making more money every year and wonder how they can better help themselves. I think Mike Babcock and everybody would be lying if they said that wasn't at least in some part of their mind. So with that in mind, if you're Mike Babcock and you literally are able to probably write your check in Toronto, is that enough for you? Do you also want to have a hand in player development? Is that a necessary part of the package that will tip the scales in your favor? Do you want to win? Do you want to, if it's Arizona and it's Connor McDavid that goes out to Arizona, does Dave Tippett want to be part of that? Or you would think he would because the program would be accelerated, the rebuild would be accelerated tremendously. But at the same time, if they don't win that, does Dave Tippett want to be part of that rebuild? Could he be on the market? So I think with Babcock in particular, he's going to be the guy, the number one guy that kind of sets the dominoes going for the rest of the coaching industry. And the only real question now is, does CEA want to just remain loyal to the Ilitches? They'll probably pay him, at or near what he could get elsewhere, but maybe they won't go past a certain number. Maybe he does want a new challenge. Maybe he does want to start again. So those are the real variables, I think, that are going to, dictate the rest of the market.
Well, you throw Todd McClellan, I think, as a guy who a lot of people think will be looking for a job and likely not very long in San Jose. And when you think about it, and who knows what happens, Ken Hitchcock's contract is done at the end of this season. He doesn't have an extension yet. Like, this could be the biggest season of free agent moves in the coaching fraternity we've ever seen.
Absolutely. And Dan Bylsma is another one, He's sitting on the sidelines. He's got a year left on his contract with Pittsburgh. So if he wants to sit back, that's fine. And somewhere, scoping out the scenes, probably like Bill Murray in Caddyshack is John Tortorella. You know what I mean? He's just like looking for the gopher, the next one he's got to kind of go after. So, it's I think coaches now are a lot like goalies, right? It's really a buyer's market in a lot of respects. And, I know in Edmonton, obviously, with Todd Nelson, he's made a decent case for himself to stick around there. So, the only moves in some cases teams can make if they're up against the cap or if they're, if they can't make trades, it's going to be to make a move behind the bench. And people know this. So whether it's, guys who are, behind the scenes or, in TV that are working that are still hoping to get back in the industry, Dallas Aiken's name is still going to be mentioned, in some circles. He probably won't get a job, right away ahead of some of these guys, but you never know. And I think that's where, again, the money part comes into it because owners know they can probably lowball some new guys and that probably necessitates some higher payments on the other end of the scale.
Adam Proto joins us. Adam, there's so many crazy stories coming out of Toronto. There's one, I'm not sure how much legs there was to it, that the Leafs were seriously dangling Dion Phaneuf. I know, to me, when I go back, and when you're captain, and clearly you can watch the tape, it looked like it was Kessel and Phaneuf who decided that one game not to salute the fans. Like, to me, there looks like there's definitely a lack of leadership to go in the right direction for that team. Do you see him being moved this summer?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, he will be moved. I think the question is really, will Phil Kessel be moved, and will they, you know, will they want to keep Phil around to, you know, to try and make it not a complete barren wasteland in Toronto? Do they think he can handle that? But I think with Dion, and it's not all Dion's fault. I mean, the guy is you know, a good defenseman in the NHL. He's not a Norris Trophy candidate. I don't think he's paid correctly, given what he does on the ice, and sometimes his propensity for making mistakes. If you tax him minute wise, you know, I think that's the issue here, and the fact that he's in the fishbowl of Toronto kind of exacerbates that, you know, to a great degree. So in another marketplace, will he be a more valuable player? In some regards, absolutely. And you know, I don't put leadership all on him. I think with the best teams, you see that, you know, players are surrounded with other, you know, smart players. Chicago, it's not just Jonathan Toews, it's Marian Hossa, Patrick Sharp. I think the problem in Toronto, again, is for me, has always been that Brian Burke tried to kind of jumpstart and do a kind of an end run around the rebuilding process when he really didn't have to. He had all the cachet in the world, you know, with which to do what Brendan Shanahan understands now that he can do, which is just, you know, take your lumps, suck it up, you know, don't read the papers, you know, live up to the cliches and just fight your way through it. I think once they made the decision to put Phil Kessel and Dion Phaneuf in those kind of roles that are really just for generational type players, you know, that's where everything else became, you know, you started to see the dog chase its own tail. You started to see the Calgary Flame syndrome under Jerome Iginla, where it was like, well, if we just add this piece here or this piece there, we can make it into the playoffs, and then who knows what happens. Well, we pretty much know what happens. Every once in a while, there's an Edmonton that makes it to the final, or a Kings team that sneaks through, and all the things go their way. But by and large, you need to understand the process, and that's why, Jason, I don't get, you know, everybody kind of flipping out on the draft system. I think, you know, that this is the only way that the CBA is designed for you to get those type of players. Teams will not, under any circumstances, give up, you know, John Tavares for as bad as it was in the Island. There was no way you were going to pry him out of Garth Snow's cold, dead hands. So the only way you can get these type of players is to take your lumps. And I think, you know, finally in Toronto, people understand that.
Well, to me, you know, the whole tanking on purpose thing, what I found interesting, you know, people I talked to in Toronto, were some of the players were actually upset that management felt like, because they were in a playoff position, right? They fired Randy Carlyle. I know what all the analytics said, but the fact of the matter was they were in a playoff position.
Yep.
And they had went, basically management said, hey, we're not re-signing France and we're not re-signing Santorelli, guys who the team felt were good, solid players, because they felt, well, we're not good enough to win with this group anyway. And that message seemed, the players were almost like, okay, fine. Well, you're tapping out. We're tapping out, right? Is that how you felt in Toronto?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I haven't been at the rink to talk to the Leafs a lot this year because I'm working nights for the website. But I mean, I certainly, you know, talk to people around the team and you know, see what everybody else sees, which really looks like a very unlikable team, to be honest. And I think, you know, they've got some real sensitive personalities on that team. You know, Phil Kessel, in some respects, has been treated unfairly, you know, by the media, by fans. But by the same token, Phil Kessel is clearly not the player that he can be, or not the player that you look at and say, there's a guy that, you know, that will lead by example, who will show up in 110% shape in that training camp, who will, you know, take that extra hit to make a play. That's not the type of player he is, and that's not all on him. But I think at the same time, you know, once even the slightest bit of criticism comes down on him, he's got a tendency to let that affect him. So, you know, when you looked at and you mentioned the saluting incident, I thought made him really unlikable. I think the idea, again, they get down by one or two goals and you just see people pulling up in corners, left, right, and center, flipping the puck up in the air at center ice instead of looking to make a smart pass. I mean, it's those little things, body language, you know, that really can be toxic. So, you know, this is why I reference Mushroom Cloud, because it just seems like every time the game starts, you're expecting something bad to happen. And I think that goes for the players too. And when fans see that, not only do they expect it, but they just, you know, wave the white flag as soon as it happens, it really makes for an awful situation that's going to necessitate a lot of change.
Adam Proto from the Hockey News joins us. It'll be interesting to see what they do in Toronto, what happens, obviously, in Edmonton. You mentioned Arizona, a lot of the bottom feeder teams. If Ottawa doesn't make the playoffs, what do you think the Senators do? What's going to happen with Brian Murray, who is a potential replacement?
That's a great question. I think his assistance there will be up for it to some degree. I think, if his health is holding up, that as we all hope it does, that maybe there is a chance that he plays a bigger role than he might have thought he would next season. It's funny because I think, Jason, that they are one of those teams where you think, oh, if you're a fan, do you really want to, I know it's been fun and you want to build that competitive spirit within the organization, but to get one of those 10th, 11th, 12th draft spots in a pretty deep draft when you still have some holes, still facing some deficits, I think, if not, in that, then certainly to me, their defense still isn't really one of the better ones in the league. I think they could add there. I think they, they might be kind of hurting themselves a little bit, but that said, you look at them and you think they've got some young players, obviously with Carlson, is a Benajad. I mean, they've got guys who can contribute, but I just don't know that, when you look at the rest of that Atlantic division, do they have the horses to go with, with the Canadians or the Lightning? I think the Lightning are, for my money, the strongest team in the East if Ben Bishop holds up in the playoffs. So that's what you have to ask yourself in Ottawa. How are we going to get those guys that help us compete with the Stamkoses, the Jonathan Drouins, who had a beautiful goal against the Habs, and players of that nature? That's what would worry me.
It's interesting. Tampa Bay is this year's Montreal to Boston last year. Right, like they're dominating the Habs, like the Habs dominated the Bruins last season.
That's right. That's a great observation. It's true, and maybe that changes in the playoffs, given that Ben Bishop, I think, professionally has one game of playoff experience that came in the AHL. I mean, I think that's what people forget sometimes when we talk about the Rangers and how they caught some real lucky breaks in the playoffs last year, and Carey Price being injured was one of them. So maybe Tampa Bay just hasn't run into somebody like that in high-pressure situations before, some of their younger players on that team and overcome it. And I think, that's the challenge for them. But otherwise, they've got that. They've got, for me, Jason, they've got everything that you look for in a Stanley Cup potential winner, insofar as that they've got the depth. They've got that generational type star at the top. They've got a deep defense core when healthy, and the key for me too is they're able to beat you any way you want to play. They can play a tight game. They can play a freewheeling game. And to me, in the playoffs, you start to see that versatility really matter. So, they were my pick heading into the season to be the Eastern Conference champions, and I'm still feeling pretty good about that right now.
They look very good. I'm very curious to see what happens when the playoffs start. Just because in the West, from day to day, you really don't know. You would think, okay, St. Louis and Chicago obviously look very good, but Minnesota is on fire. I'm not sure anyone wants to play them. And the Jets, if they can get in, might be one of the other scariest teams just because they're so physical.
That's right. That's right. And I think Calgary, everybody still keeps waiting for the other shoe to drop with Calgary, right? The Mark Giordano injury. I mean, people that are have been counting them out for a while. So, yeah, I think that's, for me, that's some of the biggest fascination of the playoffs, is to know that, very, very good teams are going to be out in the first round. If the playoffs were today, either, the Blues or the Blackhawks would be done, after seven games or less. And how do you react in the wake of that? How do you, do you make drastic moves, or do you just recognize that, man, this is a very tough league in which to win? You have to have everything going for you at the right time of year, including health, and your team's playing well, your special team's functioning well. So, I don't really think there's an easy, you usually look at series and you go, well, there's a guy that, I can see people walking all over this team or that team. I don't know that exists anymore. I think teams are so close that it really is, in a lot of cases, a toss-up.
Adam, always good to catch up with you, man. Who do you think is going to miss the playoffs in the East and the West?
You know what? I'm going to say Boston. I think even though Boston has been played well lately, I'm expecting either Ottawa or Florida to make a late push. And I think Boston has some issues that they're going to have to address sooner than later. I think in the West, I think the Kings, as I wrote on the website today, I think the Kings are in trouble. They had a golden opportunity you know, last night to do something, didn't get it done, and you know, they just, if Dallas hadn't won, they would have been 2 points behind them in the standings. So I think they're, you know, the Winnipeg, even though they haven't looked as great lately, probably still has enough to get in.
Always good to catch up there, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Look forward to it, Jason. Thanks.